Hey, yes, we're on and very light. Cool. Okay, so this morning we want to launch Birthing the Miraculous, which is the book that we're going to be reading together as a church. We've been hyping it up over the last few weeks. We're going to be reading it together as a church. There's going to be lots of opportunities to do various bits and pieces with it, to join together to look at it in small groups, to join together to look at it in twos and threes, and to do some individual stuff as well. Tell you about all of that at the end. I wanted to use a passage this morning from the Message translation I'm going to read from. And this is a passage that will be familiar to lots of us. It's usually called the Reinstatement of Peter. I just want to read it to you in the Message translation, and then we're going to see it in video. And I was smiling all the way through what we were just praying there just now, because it's great when a plan comes together, because I think Sheena just preached half the sermon. So it's always good when a plan comes together. It's always good when we know that it's really God that's speaking. So let me read for you. So after this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee and two other disciples were going together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them then replied, "We're going with you." They went out and got into the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them. "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off to the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said, and all of a sudden, there were so many fish in it that they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the Master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dived into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along a net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking in it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish, and even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." He then asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Master, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Shepherd my sheep." Then he said it a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was upset that he'd asked for a third time. "Do you love me?" So he answered, "Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, his crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle to understand it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggle to understand.
Jesus said, "You're alive, I can't believe you're alive." Okay, I was in the boat, and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice, and the voice said, "Cast your nets on the other side." And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there.
feed my sheep.
And Jim, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat, Tim.
Peter.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of us this morning.
Oh.
I wonder how many of us this morning had a bit like Peter. Oh, we've now got an echo in the background. I wonder how many of us this morning feel a bit like Peter, where we've spent a lifetime almost trying to make up to Jesus for something that we got wrong. And I want to say to you this morning that if that's you, and you've heard it already this morning, that your past does not determine your future. And that's just where I want to camp this morning. I don't have a great long, huge sermon this morning. I don't have really anything awfully clever this morning or anything else, because I believe the passage speaks for itself. And I saw that that sketch. It's something that I was at over Easter time, and I thought that is so. It was so poignant, and it just hits the mark. And so I suppose I really want to let the passage speak for itself this morning. But your past does not determine your future. If you this morning are like Peter, and you've been running and running and running and trying to find a way to make up to Jesus for that mistake that you made in the past, he wants you to know this morning that there's grace available. He wants you to know that that's what the cross is all about. That's what the resurrection is all about. It's all about unmerited grace. We get what we don't deserve. Peter got what he didn't deserve. You know, the sketch made light of some of it, but when it got to the nub, you could see the look on the guy's face as he was pretending to be Peter or imagining what Peter would be like. Imagine what it was like for Peter when he meets Jesus on the beach. And Peter knows what he's done. Peter knows what he's done. And he's probably over the days or weeks in between, he's frantically tried to squash it down and forget it and bury it. And maybe he's tried to reason it and make it reasonable in his mind and make lots of excuses for it. But the truth hits him smack bang in the face when he meets Jesus on the beach. Here's his friend, here's the guy that he hung out with, and here's the guy that he denied. I want to tell you this morning that If you have been hightailing it from Jesus for a long time because you don't want him to see whatever it is that's there with you that you've hidden, then I want you to know this morning that he already knows. I want you to know this morning that he already knows, and that unmerited grace is yours this morning. I wonder what it is that's in your past at the moment that dictates your future. I wonder what it is that when you go to move forward, there's a voice in your head that says, "Abbott, do you remember?" Because I want to tell you this morning that your past does not dictate your future. And I want you to hear that, and I'm not going to apologise for the 40 times I'm going to say that this morning, because that, if you take nothing else away this morning, I want you to take away that your past does not dictate your future. I wonder if in actual fact this morning you're here, and this morning you've actually spent a lifetime telling Jesus that you don't need him. I wonder if you've actually spent time getting yourself all sorted out and becoming very accomplished and doing the stuff by yourself and telling Jesus that you don't need him. And you've actually got to a place this morning where somewhere in the recesses of your mind, you really do believe that you don't need Jesus. And you really do believe that it's actually okay, that you've got it sussed. I want to tell you this morning, if you have come here this morning with the belief that you don't need Jesus, I want to tell you that you're wrong. Because you see, that unmerited grace is something that we all need. Because it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter whether we're up the front doing the speaking. It doesn't matter whether we're sitting out there listening. It doesn't matter whether we're 90. It doesn't matter whether we're 9. And everything in between. We need the unmerited grace that Jesus offers. You know, we were thinking last week about the resurrection, and we were thinking about the fact that Jesus died to defeat death, and that death holds no sting anymore, there's no threat anymore. But you see, that is the case when we belong to Jesus. And you know, I was laughing with some people this week and saying to them, of all the APES gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the shepherd, and the evangelist in me trails at the end. And as I'm even saying that, I'm thinking, man, okay, maybe my evangelist is coming up this morning, is rising up this morning. But you know, if you've come this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you not to go back out that door without receiving the unmerited grace and favour that Jesus offers you. I want to encourage you to have a Peter experience this morning and to come to him and let him call your name this morning, because that's what he's doing. It's not a collective invitation. The invitation is to you, and it's your name that he calls this morning. I wonder if you have allowed what's gone on in the past in that respect to dictate what you do now. And I want to tell you that if you've not got yourself sorted out with Jesus, that this morning, the past until now, does not have to dictate the future, because you can get that done this morning and you can sort that this morning. I wonder if this morning you're sitting and actually, you've been really going on with Jesus and going for it with Jesus, but there's some stuff that you've stepped out in and you've tried because you really believed that that was what God was saying to you. And you dug in on it and you tried and you tried and you tried, and it was just littered with disappointment. I wonder if that's you this morning. And if that's you this morning, I want to say again that your past does not dictate your future. I want to say to you that there is life, and life in all its fullness, that Jesus offers us. One of the things that I've been thinking about over the last few weeks, and actually it is as a result of reading some of the stuff in Heidi's book, is that whole idea of when God speaks to you about something, when God places a promise in your heart and calls you into something, how do you stick with it, even though everything round about you looks as if you've got it wrong? And the answer to that has to do with your relationship with Jesus. It has to do with what happens in the secret place. Because it's in that secret place that the reassurance and that the resolve and that the ability to stand when everything else has fallen round about you actually comes. And I want you to hear this morning that if you've been in that place and you've gone for it with Jesus and your life is full of disappointments and you think, I am not risking that again because I am not going to be hurt like that again, I want to tell you that your past does not dictate your future. We believe in White Inch here that we are standing on the cusp of something. We've felt it, a number of us for months now, that we're standing on the cusp of a wave about to break. And I want to encourage you to find the way in Jesus of standing on that wave, because you see, your past doesn't dictate your future. One of the things that I believed in when I worked in New Mains, when I worked in ARC in New Mains, was I believed that there was revival was coming to New Mains. But I had also seen that, I'd also felt that God had said to me that when we planted ARC, which was a church plant, that I would plant ARC, I would launch ARC, but I would never sail on it. And that was a really hard place to be, because I believe God has spoken that to me right at the very start, just as we launched it. That's not the kind of thing that sells something to somebody in terms of gathering a team round about you. You know, to say, well, actually, guys, I want you to come and do this, but I'm going to leave. So it's not the kind of thing that you share. And so I dug in for two or three years, and then it became apparent that it was time to leave. And I have to tell you that was a very painful experience, because I hadn't seen the fruit that I wanted to see. And at that time, I was kind of transitioning to come here, and I was chatting with Alan and whatnot. And I was hearing his stories about lots of the guys here who he had been with from they were little, actually, when they were even at camp. Guys like James Rennick, from when they were at camp, and had seen them grow and seen the fruit. And I remember getting really cross one day when I was listening to his stories and thinking, yeah, that's all fine for you. You get to see the fruit, but I don't get to see any fruit. And that gets you to a place where you actually begin to think, I wonder whether or not I should dig in again. Because actually, if I dig in again and I don't see this again, this is going to hurt again, and I don't really want to do this. And I want to tell you that I've had two conversations with folks in New Mains over the last couple of weeks. And I want to tell you that there's some really exciting things happening in New Mains. Before Christmas time, I went to speak at a ladies' thing. And I've been away from there for 2 years and not felt that God was not allowing me to go back. In fact, at times when I went to go back, I was sure what God was saying to me, if you go back and touch that, you'll break it. I mean, just to go back and visit, I don't mean to move back. And I hadn't done anything at all. And then before Christmas time, I went to speak at a ladies' thing. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this ladies' thing, I had half a dozen women who came and spoke to me. And it was almost like God was standing at my side saying, I told you would see the fruit. But there had been a very painful 2 years worth of, God, I don't want to do this again because this hurts and I'm not seeing anything come from what I'm digging in with. Just last week, I heard that, ARC, which is the church plant, we would do family nights and maybe hit 100 folk on a family night, and, you know, that was fine, it was all good. Jen, who's the girl who took over from me, did a family night before Easter time, the last of the kind of session of family nights, and she ran out of chairs. They didn't have enough space. They had to clear the hall, and it was standing room only. Then she ran two community things in the midst of the Easter holidays, and she got over 200 at the first one and over 100 at the second one. Then I had a meeting, I had a coffee with somebody else in the church who told me, actually the minister, who told me that what he wanted to do and he felt God was calling them to do was to pray for healing, and they were being called to pray for healing. And he was gathering folks together, and they were going to pray for healing. And can I tell you that they weren't starting off with a sore head or a sore toe. They were starting off with somebody with terminal cancer. And I thought, flipping heck, okay, how did that happen? There are some amazing things happening there. And you know, there are people there who dug in 20 years ago. There are people there who refuse. That Rend collective song that Dave did this morning, the chorus in that talks about we will be defiant. And I've watched people there be defiant for 20 years and say, we will not give up, we will press in on this. And even when it was chaos round about them and it looked as if it was all going in the wrong direction, they pressed in. And I was saying to folks there this week, you need to see that this is the harvest. This is not coincidence. This is not just, you know, we're not just playing at this. This is the harvest. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you've been digging in and digging in and digging in and seeing no fruit, I want to encourage you and I want you to hear the past does not dictate the future. And I want to encourage you to dig and to dig a bit deeper and to dig a bit deeper again. And actually the place that you do that is in the secret place. And that's where this is tied in to some of the stuff that is going on in this book. I would never ever want to push any book above the Bible, because in actual fact the Bible is the one that trumps even Heidi's book. But I want to encourage you to dig into this. It's peppered with scripture, it's peppered with stories that she takes from scripture and that she expands and she talks about in her own life. When I saw this book, and somebody, a friend of mine, had said to me a few months ago, have you seen Heidi's new book? It looks great, you need to read it. And when I saw the title, I have to tell you that my heart sank. I looked at it and I thought, I don't want to read another book about miracles in Mozambique. That's what I thought. Because I thought, do you know, God, I'm frustrated. I don't want to read about somebody else's miracles. I want to read about our miracles. I want to see it here. Because I'm blessed what's going on everywhere else. Absolutely blessed what's going on everywhere else. But I want to see it here. I'm hungry for it here. And so I put this to one side and I thought, I'm not even going to buy it. And then about a month ago, Alan had said, have you seen Heidi's new book? And I resisted the temptation to say to him, yes, and I don't want to read another book about miracles in Mozambique. And he'd said, you need to have a look at it. There's something quite significant in this. And I bought it and started to read it. And I can't tell you how challenged I've been with it. It's not a book about miracles in Mozambique. Let me be clear. She does talk about some of the stuff in Mozambique, but it is not a book about miracles in Mozambique. It's a book about how we carry the promises of God to full term, how we don't abort those promises before they're actually born. And she labours the point of our relationship with God. She labours the point of what happens in the secret place. And she labours the point that your past does not determine your future. I want to encourage you to read this book looking for the Kairos moments. Kairos moments in life are light bulb moments. They're moments that they just all of a sudden they burst in and you think, oh my goodness, I hadn't thought of that before, and it just kind of hits you. They can be positive moments and they can be negative moments. And what happens is that as we go through life, and I think it should, that'll go to Kairos now. If you click again, I think, I hope. And then it should go on to the circle. So this is where one of the 3DM shapes, the circle, is really helpful. And I want to encourage you, if you're reading Heidi's book, to read it using the circle. So as you walk through life, as we go through the book, you kind of jog along. And every so often, you'll get a wee cross that comes up, which is your Kairos moment, your light bulb moment that comes up. And the temptation is that as you go through life and these Kairos moments come up, sometimes those Kairos moments are really joyful moments. Sometimes they're ouch moments where you think, oh, okay, is that something I need to look at? And our temptation in that moment is to think, I am going to go as fast as I can through this Kairos moment to get to the other side, because actually it's quite uncomfortable to live here. What the circle teaches is that we need to stop. And we need to pause and we need to ask ourselves, what is it that God's saying? What is God saying to me? So we need to actually look at what's going on. So look at what the context of what you're reading. And you can do this as you read scripture as well. You can use it for reading anything. And we also use it for living life as well. So we're looking to see what's going on. We're thinking about what that's saying to us. We're thinking, why am I reacting like this to this? What is this tapping into with me? And then we talk about it. Because it's good to talk to somebody. I was thinking about Sherlock, if I've got any Sherlock fans in here. When Sherlock gets something, suddenly gets revelation about something, he very rarely runs off and then goes to do what he's going to do. He talks to Watson about it first. He has a pal that he talks to about it. And if you think of all of these guys, so Batman and Robin are another two, you know, they're... Anybody, any of these things that are set up, very often you see the person who's actually going for it, when they get the idea, there's somebody to bounce the idea off. And that's what's important in terms of the circle as well. Find yourself somebody to talk to about what you've seen or heard. That's why in the context of the book, we're setting up places that you can do that, whether it's online, whether it's in person, whether it's in small groups, whatever it is, we're looking to set that opportunity up. If you can't buy into anything that's structured that we've got set up, then find yourself a pal and ask and talk to your pal about it. Once you've actually worked out what it is that God's saying and what he's got his finger on, then you come round the other side of the circle. And the question on the other side of the circle is, so what are you going to do about it? It's all very well to hear what God's saying, but if we don't actually do anything with it, then we're only halfway through the story. So what are you going to do about it? You, in conjunction with somebody else, because it's always good to talk about it with somebody else, you're going to make a plan. So what are you going to do now? God's spoken to you. What is it you're going to do now? Then you're going to tell somebody, because accountability is awful important. Because if we don't make ourselves accountable to people, it's awfully easy just to kind of let it slide and wander off. One of the things that we've been thinking about, in huddles is how to be accountable to one another. And so what we do in huddles is we set accountability questions. And I don't set, for my huddle, I don't tell them what the accountability question is. Folks will say, I want you to ask me this in 2 weeks' time. That's how an accountability question works. So when God has spoken to you, you need to say to somebody, you know, God's been speaking to me about the fact that I don't really spend much time on my own with him, and when I do, I fall asleep. So in 2 weeks' time, will you ask me how many times I've spent quality time with God on my own? That would be an accountability question, as broad as that and as general as that. And then somebody will ask you that, and then you get on and you do it. That's how the circle works. What's God saying? And what are you going to do about it? And I would encourage you to see, as you read the book, if you're reading the book with us, I would encourage you to see the book through the eyes of the circle. Use the circle to help you read the book. What is it that God's saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? Very practically, we want to tell you what's available over the next few weeks in terms of birthing the miraculous and in terms of reading the book together. I know from conversations with people that there are some folks around here who struggle with being in a deep relationship with a number of other people, that they have very, very, very tight boundaries, and for them it's much easier to stay behind the boundaries. It's much easier to stay in the compartments. So this is church, and this is work, and this is my friend, and this is somebody that I'm not really that friendly with and whatnot. And I want to encourage you that if you have compartmentalised what God is saying to you and held on to it yourself and found that a difficult thing to share with other people because actually it makes you vulnerable, I want to encourage you again that the past does not dictate the future. I want to encourage you to take a risk, to find somebody that you trust. And one of the things that we're recommending is that when you find somebody that you're going to share with, that this is a mutual sharing, that you don't share all your stuff and they share nothing, because actually that makes you really, really vulnerable. So if you're going to share with somebody, it's a reciprocal agreement. You share with them, they share with you, and you're both holding each other's stuff. And as you begin to stick your toe in the water with that, one of the things we've been talking about is about being able to let you see my brokenness and me see yours. And I wonder what happens to us as a fellowship if we begin to walk the walk with one another, even through just starting through the Birthing the Miraculous book. So this is what it looks like. Birthing the Miraculous, the in-person. You can do some in-person things. So you can get together with a pal and you can talk about it. There are some paper copies of the material which is available online. There are paper copies at the back there. If you don't do the online thing, that's not a problem. There are paper copies at the back. Help yourself. So you can do it with a pal. There's follow-up material there. You do the follow-up material yourself. You can do it with somebody else. You can do it yourself and then do it with somebody else. You can do it as a family. There's some material up there if you have got kids in your house and you want to try and do this with your children, then there's some follow-up material there. The first week's follow-up material for use with your family is there. I will freely admit that it is not the best family material in the world. I wrote it. It's not the best stuff in the world. If you hang on, next week's is better. So you get through the first week, the second week of the family stuff is much better. We are also giving you an opportunity to get together in small groups. So 6 to 7 on a Thursday night, Alan's going to lead a small group at his house. And from 10:15 to 11:30 here at Teapots, I'm going to lead a small group on a Tuesday morning. It would be helpful for both Alan and I to have an idea who's coming or how many are coming. So if you want to, if you're going to go to the Thursday night, if you catch Alan and speak to him, if you're going to come to the Tuesday morning, then let me know. That doesn't mean if you haven't let us know you can't come. It just gives us a stab in the dark as to how many folks roughly we're expecting. There are also online resources, so you can sign up for 2 emails a week. The emails will come out on a Monday and a Thursday. If the technology is right, the emails will come out on a Monday or a Thursday, so look for them on Monday. I'm on the mailing list as well, so if I don't get it on Monday, I'll know that you haven't got it and I'll do something about it. And we've also got the Birthing the Miraculous Facebook page. Some of you have already linked into the Facebook group that's Birthing the Miraculous. I want to encourage you, if you're part of that online community, that you really do use that to put up thoughts, questions, and all the rest of it. There are folks around White Inch Fellowship who, because of illness, are unable to be here and are unable to get to the other stuff. I had conversations with some of those people this week who were really excited about the fact they could participate in an online thing. The thing is that if you've signed up for the online group and you don't do it, then they can't participate. So I would encourage you, if you've signed up for that, that you actually do start to share some stuff on there. I've changed the settings on that page so that I need to approve whoever comes into that group, just so that we can keep some kind of tight... We want to protect folks. We don't want to have folks not feeling that they can't share stuff on there. So we want to be able to make sure the folks who are in that group are actually the folks who are doing the online stuff and reading the book. You can also join in with stuff on a Sunday. So on a Sunday, we are hoping to hear testimonies of what God's doing. We are hoping that there are expecting queues of people wanting to give testimony on a Sunday. We're going to have a Kairos wall or a light bulb moment wall, which will be up the back somewhere with post-its available. And we'd love you, if you've had a Kairos moment through the week, to be able to come and write that on a piece of paper, on a piece of post-it, and stick it on the wall so that we can all share in those. Because it's interesting, your Kairos moment might actually be something that God's speaking to somebody else about too. We're also going to have reminders for the following week on a Sunday as well, so we will keep the profile of the thing high. We want to create opportunities for you to be able to come and to dig deep with God. We do that together corporately on a Sunday morning. There are other places through the week you can do that, and I think Ian is in the corner there. He's going to come and tell you about experience, which is another opportunity for you to be able to do that.
Hear me? I just want to invite you guys to what we do on Thursday night.
Experience. We started off as a house group, we've kind of grown beyond that now. We meet here in the White Inch Centre, upstairs in the conference room, around 8:15. Had a few room booking kind of things with other stuff going on, but it seems to be around 8:15 we can get into the room these days. So, and we gather basically with no agenda other than to seek God. So we come and we worship together and we pray for each other. And we've really seen God move as we've worshipped. We've really been aware of his presence. And it's just like we want to gather and like dig a well, as it were, just to use that expression, a place where you can come and experience God. And I guess the group's called Experience. And kind of our poster verse, I suppose, is the one in Ephesians 3:18 that says, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great that you'll never fully understand it." And that's kind of what we're all about, is actually coming to meet with God. So you're anybody and everybody is welcome whenever you would like to join us.
Fantastic. Thank you. Okay, so lots of opportunities to participate in the stuff from Birthing the Miraculous. Simply want to leave you with what we've been saying all the way through. Whatever it is, your past does not determine your future. That advert, "The future's bright, the future's orange." The future's bright, because the future's full of grace and it's God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that that would settle in our hearts, that the truth, that the past does not determine the future, that truth would settle there. Jesus, I pray that we would get a grip of your grace, that we would understand that love that you have for us, that, Jesus, we would be able to live in the place where we really can't fully comprehend how deep and how wide and how long and how high is your love for us. Jesus, we come to you this morning like Peter, knowing that we've messed up, knowing that there are times when we've chosen to do what we want rather than what you want, knowing that there are times when we've denied that we know you, knowing that there are times when we would far rather have not had the complications that following you brings. Jesus, we come to you knowing that there's grace for a new day. And so, Jesus, regardless of where we are in our journey, whether we haven't started it, whether we've started it, whether we're long into that journey, we come to you today because we know that there's fresh grace available for us this morning. Father, I pray that as we begin to journey together into intimacy with you, into a deeper place with you, that you would release from heaven all that you have for us. Father, will you open the storehouses of heaven and will you let it rain? Father, we thank you for the signs of life. We thank you for the buds that are around. But Father, we want more. So Father, will you come? Will you take us to the place that's deep? Will you help us to see how to live there and to live out of that place? And how to live out of that place of abundant grace that you offer us? And Father, as we go into the rest of today, I pray that you would go with us, that your blessing would be on us, that your peace would be ours, and that deepening intimacy with you would be what marks us. Father, be glorified in us as individuals and in us as your corporate worshippers here. In Jesus' name.